Tommy McNeil. Reports of a possible progress on a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas happening against the backdrop of Israel's plan for a military incursion into the southern Gaza city of Rafah. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the White House.
In Gaza, residents celebrated at Monday's news that Hamas had accepted an Egyptian-Qatari ceasefire proposal. The State Department was more skeptical about whether a deal had, in fact, been reached. Matthew Miller is the State Department spokesperson.
Ceasefire is absolutely achievable. There has been a deal on the table, a proposal on the table, that would achieve an immediate ceasefire and the release of hostages. Now, as for Hamas's response, which I think gets to your question, again, I don't want to characterize it in any sort of detail until we've had a chance to review it in depth and talk with our partners in the region about it.
Meanwhile, Israel's military has told Rafah residents to evacuate ahead of a ground operation. Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports two U.S. officials say an American soldier has been arrested in Russia.
Two U.S. officials say an American soldier has been arrested in Russia. The officials say the soldier was stationed in South Korea and in the process of returning home to the U.S. Instead, he went to Russia, where he was accused Thursday of stealing, arrested, and remains in custody. The Army says Russia told the U.S., which in turn told the soldier's family. His arrest comes a year after another soldier, Travis King, sprinted into North Korea. He was returned to the U.S. and charged with desertion. It's unclear if the soldier in Russia now is considered AWOL. Sagar Magani at the White House.
Russia is threatening to strike British military facilities and says it plans to hold drills simulating the use of battlefield nuclear weapons. Statements came after the Kremlin reacted angrily to comments by senior Western officials about the war in Ukraine. This is VOA News. French President Emmanuel Macron has put trade disputes and Ukraine-related diplomatic efforts at the top of his agenda. For talks with visiting Chinese President Xi Jinping, Macron said that the talks included lifting immediate terror threats on French cognac exports. The Chinese leader arrived in France to open his European tour. She first joined a meeting with Macron and the European Commission president meant to address broader European Union concerns on trade and security issues. Macron said Monday that France hopes China's influence in Moscow would help to move Russia toward ending the war in Ukraine. Xi's European trip is his first in 5 years. He will go to Serbia and Hungary next. AP correspondent Norman Hall reports on House Republican efforts to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt.
House Republicans plan to move forward next week with holding Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Garland refuses to turn over the unredacted audio of an interview that was conducted as part of the special counsel probe into President Joe Biden's handling of classified documents. The contempt proceedings are just the latest flare-up in the increasingly tense relationship between Republicans and the Justice Department. Contempt charges would require majority support in committee and then the support of the full House before referral could be sent to the Justice Department. Should the House hold Garland in contempt, it is unlikely that the Justice Department, which Garland oversees, would prosecute him. Norman Hall, Washington.
The judge presiding over Donald Trump's hush money trial has fined him $1,000 and warned of jail time for future gag order violations. Reuters' Zachary Goldman tells us more.
It's not the first time Trump's been held in contempt of court by Justice Juan Merchan, who last week fined Trump $9,000 for the same reason, violating a gag order prohibiting him from making comments about potential witnesses, jurors, or court staff related to his trial. He remains free to criticize the judge and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Trump stands accused of falsifying business records for what prosecutors say was a hush money payment to an adult film star. Trump has pleaded not guilty, denies the affair, calls the prosecution an attempt to undermine his presidential campaign, and on Monday continued to rail against what he's called an unfair gag order.
Boeing has called off its first astronaut launch because of a bulky rocket valve. Two NASA test pilots had just strapped in a Boeing Starliner capsule. The countdown was halted Monday night, 2 hours before the planned liftoff from Cape Canaveral, Florida. A United Launch Alliance spokesman says a problem involves an oxygen relief valve on the Atlas rocket's upper stage. There's no immediate word on when the next launch attempt might be for a flight to the International Space Station. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Dan's collapsing in Gaza as news of a ceasefire spreads. Chinese President Xi Jinping visits France.
Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Europe for the first time in 5 years at a time of growing economic and trade tensions.
And scientists believe every bird, from pigeons in the park to penguins at the zoo, are living, breathing dinosaurs.
So Archaeopteryx is the one fossil that tells us that the birds outside our window are living dinosaurs. And I think that is so cool.
Today is Tuesday, May 7th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Scott Walterman. There was cheering in Gaza on Monday night after Hamas said it had accepted a ceasefire proposal from mediators, even as residents fled the city of Rafah in fear of an Israeli assault. But any likelihood of a ceasefire taking place was quickly played down by Israel. Some details now from John Gambrell, the Associated Press News Director for the Gulf and Iran.
Hamas has said that it's accepted a Qatari and Egyptian mediated ceasefire to stop the war in Gaza being waged by Israel. However, we've heard from Israel. They say that they're continuing to launch military strikes on Rafah, that city in southern Gaza where half of the enclave's population now is. They also say that their war cabinet has voted to continue this Rafah offensive while still potentially negotiating the ceasefire and sending a team onto Cairo.
A spokesperson for the Israeli government confirmed that Israel's military is getting ready for a ground incursion into Rafah.
The IDF has informed Gazans in eastern Rafah to evacuate temporarily towards the expanded humanitarian area. We have made Gazans aware through flyers dropped, SMS messages, phone calls, and media broadcasts in Arabic.
In Israel, news of the potential ceasefire ignited hope and cheers from people who want the hostages back no matter what.
Expect from the Israeli government to take this deal to save all the remaining hostages who are still alive. Save lives. Don't talk about fighting and blood.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Joining us now is Stephen Simon at the University of Washington. He served as the National Security Council Senior Director for Counterterrorism in the Clinton White House and for Middle East and North Africa in the Obama White House, and in senior positions at the U.S. State Department. So, Stephen, we've been here before, at the precipice of a ceasefire deal, only to see it vaporize. What do you think?
Okay, so, Scott, the belligerents in this conflict are Israel and Hamas. Not Qatar, not Egypt, not the United States, not really even Iran, at this stage. It's really down to Israel and Hamas, and neither are ready for a truce at this point. And when they are ready for a truce, well then, we'll see one, and it'll probably unfold fairly quickly.
What's their motivation then for not wanting the truce? I assume Hamas wants to stay viable and Israel wants to knock them off.
I think that, that's somewhat true. I mean, I agree with a lot of that. On the Hamas side, I'd only really adjust your framing of it to suggest that it's not a question of so much of viability, although that's important, but the appearance of victory. And that's, I believe, what Sinwar is looking for, such that humanitarian operations can begin in earnest and the Palestinians in Gaza don't have to worry about the war restarting as soon as the hostages, however many you know, they're talking about, maybe 33, I think, in the first tranche, are all out of there. If you're looking at this from an Israeli perspective, or let's say Netanyahu's perspective, although I think he has pretty much wall-to-wall support for this, I mean, you have really the mirror image of what Hamas is looking for, because the Israelis, from their perspective, need to be able to declare victory. And they framed the question of victory in such a way that it will be very difficult to achieve. You know, they talk about this concept of Nitzachon Mochlat, you know, it's absolute victory, total victory. So it's a very difficult situation.
But you did say that when they're ready, it will happen quickly. What does that look like?
Well, it's really a question of who caves first. And, right now, I'd say that the Israelis probably have the stronger hand, because the Prime Minister Netanyahu has shown himself to be quite ready to reject, you know, any suggestions, let alone, you know, guidance from President Biden. And in effect, that's his only serious constraint. I mean, some would argue, well, there's actually a more important constraint inherent in America, in Israeli politics now, which is the hostage issue. Because you do have a lot of Israelis who want a ceasefire, as quickly as possible and without regard, to full victory. So long as the hostages come out. But that appears not to be the government's goal, and the government is calling the shots.
And Hamas?
Hamas, you know, they don't have a lot to go on right now. They don't have a really good hand. Sinwar and Mohammed Deif, are in tunnels somewhere. Their ability to communicate, presumably, is really problematic. So coordination with the exterior, the external Hamas leadership that's actually doing the negotiating with Israel and with other powers, you know, is compromised. In the meantime, you're seeing evidence from Palestinian polling conducted by Khalil Shkaki at the Palestinian, Center for polling and survey research, which seems to indicate that, Hamas is no longer a very good odor with the with Gaza, Palestinians, precisely because, they've suffered a great deal, but there hasn't been, anything to show for it. So I'd be very hesitant to call it. But at some point, one or another of these parties, is Israel or Hamas, is going to decide, well, they've got enough to declare victory, regardless of appearances, and they'll proceed to patch this up and get a ceasefire.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the time.
The pleasure was all mine, Scott, seriously.
Stephen Simon, professor of practice in Middle East Studies at the Henry M. Jackson School of International Studies at the University of Washington. Chinese President Xi Jinping was in France Monday, meeting with both French President Emmanuel Macron and EU Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen. Reuters correspondent Angela Johnston said it was Xi's first visit to the EU in 5 years.
Macron and von der Leyen urged him to ensure more balanced trade with Europe. We have a responsibility to ensure a level playing field for all, Macron said. The EU is investigating Chinese industries such as electric vehicle exports, while Beijing has started an anti-dumping probe on French cognac. For his part, Xi says China's relationship with Europe is a foreign policy priority. China always views its relations with the EU from a strategic and long-term perspective, he said. During the Monday visit, Macron and Xi also reviewed French troops and an honor guard ceremony. Chinese state media reported that Xi, behind closed doors, said he hoped EU institutions would, quote, develop the right perception of China. French diplomatic sources said the Chinese president appeared receptive to his counterpart's comments on trade, but it's unclear if that will lead to action.
The world cannot absorb China's surplus production.
While speaking to reporters, von der Leyen said both sides' relationship is hurt by unequal market access and Chinese state subsidies.
I am convinced that if the competition is fair, we in Europe will have thriving, durable economies that will support more good jobs.
Chinese media reported that Xi told the leaders, from a global perspective, he doesn't think there's a problem with overcapacity. Still, a sticking point on the European side is that EU members, especially France and Germany, are not united in their attitude towards China. Macron also pressed the Chinese leader to use his influence on Russia to end the war in Ukraine. According to state media, Xi said China has been working vigorously to facilitate peace talks.
Reuters correspondent Angela Johnston. We're following these other stories from around the world. U.S. air safety authorities are investigating whether Boeing completed required plane inspections on the 787 and whether employees falsified aircraft records. According to an email from the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, the issue centers on whether Boeing undertook required inspections to confirm adequate bonding and grounding where the wings join the fuselage on some 787 Dreamliners. War veterans, soldiers, and dignitaries will gather in Vietnam on Tuesday to mark the 70th anniversary of the battle that ultimately brought an end to the French Empire in Indochina. Vietnam has invited for the first time a government minister from the former colonial power to attend official celebrations. France surrendered to Viet Minh attacks on May 7, 1954, putting an end to 56 days of shelling and hand-to-hand combat. In our continuing coverage of the 2024 U.S. presidential election, there are 6 months left in the presidential race between Democratic President Joe Biden and Republican candidate Donald Trump. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns looks at what is ahead for the campaigns in the run-up to Election Day in November.
President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump have 6 months left to persuade American voters to give them a second term. Trump will spend some of that time in state or federal court answering 4 separate indictments on charges that include unlawful retention of national defense information and falsifying business records. He says prosecutors are interfering in the election.
Everything was legal, and they're doing this because it's for politics. They want to get Biden elected. That's the only reason.
The court appearances are reducing Trump's time campaigning, but he says what he calls a political hoax is only making him more popular with voters.
It's a terrible, terrible thing happening in our country, and hopefully November 5th, the most important day in the history of our country, in my opinion, that's called Election Day. Hopefully it's going to change because these people are destroying our country.
The Republican Party last nominated Trump for president at its semi-virtual 2020 convention in North Carolina. This year's Republican convention is in July in the state of Wisconsin. Before then, Trump will need to choose a new running mate. Among those he's believed to be considering for vice president are Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, and New York Representative Elise Stefanik. As the incumbent president, Biden has the advantage of White House events to keep voters' attention. On the campaign trail, Biden is becoming more pointed in his attacks on Trump while claiming credit for a stronger economy.
Construction of new factories has more than doubled in our administration. Meanwhile, Donald Trump still thinks windmills cause cancer. he said. By the way, remember when he was trying to deal with COVID, he said, just inject a little bleach in your veins. He missed it. All went to his hair.
The Democratic Party last nominated Biden for president at its semi-virtual 2020 convention in Wisconsin. This year's Democratic convention is in August in the state of Illinois. Biden is running again with Vice President Kamala Harris, who's been campaigning for restoring federal abortion protections that were ended when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the case Roe v. Wade in 2022.
Donald Trump was the president who took away the protections of Roe. Joe Biden will be the president who puts the protections of Roe back in place.
Before November's Election Day, Biden and Trump are expected to debate. Both men say they're ready. No date's been set. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Russia on Monday threatened to strike British military facilities if UK-supplied weapons hit Russian targets and said it would hold drills simulating the use of battlefield nuclear weapons. U.S. National Security spokesman John Kirby on the comments by Russian President Vladimir Putin.
It's just reckless and irresponsible for the leader of a major nuclear-armed power to be saber-rattling the way that he is with respect to potential use for nuclear weapons.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said on Monday that about 90% of the revenue generated by frozen Russian assets should go to buying weapons for Ukraine. Latvian Prime Minister Avika Slina.
Russia is trying to threaten all of us. So it has been always the same way. It doesn't change. And now they have the main targets, the nuclear weapons, and they're trying to push the button because they know the Ukrainian peace summit is coming. So they're trying to threaten those countries which are maybe now just thinking about going to Ukrainian peace summit. So they are showing their power.
An American soldier has been arrested in Russia and accused of stealing, according to two U.S. officials. The soldier, identified as Staff Sergeant Gordon Black, was stationed in South Korea, was in the process of returning home to the United States, and instead, officials said he traveled to Russia. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss personnel details. International Edition continues. I'm Scott Walterman. The long-awaited first test flight of Boeing's Starliner spacecraft with astronauts on board was called off for at least 24 hours over a technical glitch with the Atlas V rocket that was being readied to launch the new capsule to orbit on Monday night. The CST-100 Starliner's inaugural voyage carrying astronauts to the International Space Station has been highly anticipated and much delayed as Boeing scrambles to compete with Elon Musk's SpaceX for a greater share of lucrative NASA business. Okay, kind of a trick question. True love's kiss or an invite to the Met Gala? Those in the rarefied ranks of international celebrity need not choose. Stars of film, fashion, music, sports, politics, and social media ascended the steps of the Metropolitan Museum of Art Monday night. It's fashion's biggest night. This year's dress code, the Garden of Time. Interpret how you will. Here's Eddie Redmayne.
We're wearing a young British designer called Steve O. Smith, who is extraordinary. He's only had a couple of collections, and he paints and then sort of applies the paint to fabric, and he's wonderful.
What was it like when you first got that invite? Did you know kind of what you wanted to wear, or was it a little bit of jockeying?
There's a wonderful man called Harry Lambert, who is a brilliant stylist who I've worked with for a few years, and he's amazing at finding new talent, and this is such an extraordinary night. It showcases so many kind of titans here. It's wonderful also to hopefully give a moment for younger designers.
Congratulations.
And finally, so it seems that birds aren't just descendants of dinosaurs. They are dinosaurs. Scientists believe every bird, from pigeons at the park to penguins at the zoo, are living, breathing dinosaurs. It's all thanks to the discovery of a fossil.
So Archaeopteryx is the one fossil that tells us that the birds outside our window are living dinosaurs. And I think that is so cool. And it's also the oldest fossil bird that's ever been found, the only Jurassic bird. So it's the first puzzle piece for understanding the evolution of all the birds we see around us.
This spring, the Field Museum in Chicago is becoming one of the few places on Earth to see a real Archaeopteryx fossil. Scientist Jingmong O'Connor says researchers are still making new discoveries using the fossil, despite its being heavily studied prior to them getting it in Chicago.
I mean, Archaeopteryx is the most important fossil of all time, but also I think it's so exciting to see how much we can still learn about a fossil, about a species that we've known about for 163 years. And so I really hope that this inspires kids out there who sometimes may think, like, you know, scientists have been working for centuries, we know everything. Absolutely not. There's still so much to discover, as, you know, I'm hopefully going to demonstrate through the next coming years with our Archaeopteryx. I'm going to blow you away with the new things we're learning. So we actually are gleaning tons of new information, and I really wouldn't have expected this. You know, there's 12 specimens already. About half of them are complete. They've been heavily studied. So I thought, okay, we know everything about the skeleton. We've learned a lot of just new basic information about what the skeleton looked like.
This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of everyone at VOA, thank you so much for spending this time with us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform. You can download our apps from Google and Apple, and you can get us online at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Well over 2 years into Russia's war on Ukraine, there seems to be little inclination on the part of the belligerents towards negotiations to end the conflict. So the question is, at this point, does a path towards peace in Ukraine exist? It depends mostly on Vladimir Putin and what he decides, said Secretary of State Antony Blinken. I think Putin has believed that he can outlast Ukraine and outlast Ukraine supporters.
The success in getting the supplemental budget request is a demonstration that we're not going anywhere. That support is continuing, and in fact, the $61 billion is, as we speak, moving forward. And that's critical because I think it's both a practical and psychological boost to Ukrainians who have had a tough 9 months or so, but also a clear demonstration that the support remains and it endures.
Clearly, we're in this for Ukraine to be strong in the long haul and to stand strongly for its own 2 feet militarily, economically, democratically, said Secretary Blinken.
Militarily, beyond the support that we're providing in the immediate, and Europeans are providing. I've never seen a better example of burden sharing than in the case of Ukraine, where European partners, Asian partners, others, for as much as we've done, have done even more. And that continues.
We have now more than 30 countries that have negotiated or will soon complete negotiations on bilateral security agreements with Ukraine, said Secretary Blinken. At the same time, we're driving private sector investment into Ukraine.
There are tremendous opportunities despite the difficult circumstances, and we're seeing tremendous interest in that. Ukraine's actually exporting more through the Black Sea now than it was before February of 2022. Revenues are going into the state coffers. You can see a future where Ukraine will be strong economically.
And then democratically, the European Union opened a session talks with Ukraine, and that's the best pathway to deepening Ukraine's democracy.
All of that is the strongest possible answer to Putin, because it says that Ukraine will not only survive, it can thrive.
I hope that Mr. Putin gets the message and demonstrates a willingness to genuinely negotiate consistent with the basic principles that are at the heart of the international community and the UN Charter. Sovereignty, territorial integrity, independence, said Secretary Blinken. If those are appropriately affirmed, there should be a resolution.
That was an editorial referring